Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. It's up there on the screen for you, as well as in your bulletin. Speaking of the bulletin, on the inside is a report of Daryl, Kyle, and Benjamin Record, missionaries that we support who are in Cambodia. And there's a good update on them, so I would encourage you to take a look at that when you have a chance. Also, I want to say hello to Kathy and Roger. Welcome to our church. Also to Sam from the Philippines. Welcome to our church. We hope that you feel the love and warmth of God while you're here. Okay, we'll start in Ecclesiastes. I'll start with the first half. Reading from verse 2, please join me in the middle from verse 7, and we'll read together to the end. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. And as it is with the good, so with the sinful. And as it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Let's read together. Go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither work nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. And moreover, no one knows when their hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare. So people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The very words of God. Thanks be to God. Is this the word of God? Yeah. We're in Ecclesiastes this summer. This is our fourth sermon. We'll spend a couple more weeks. And maybe you'll think, a couple of more weeks in this depressing, dark, lonely book. Yes. A couple more. I love Ecclesiastes. I love it. I'll tell you why. You won't find a more necessary book in these times than this book, Ecclesiastes. This is the most modern book in the Old Testament. A book written almost 3,000 years ago speaks to one of the greatest issues of our modern era. And that is, what if there was no God? Now, if you ask that question 3,000 years ago, everybody would say, that's a stupid question. Psalm 53, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Pretty much throughout all of human history, everyone understood reality has two sides, the physical side, the spiritual side. The realm that we see, hear, taste, smell, and touch, and the unseen realm. We don't see, but we know it's there. Now, for most of human history, we've known this. But for the past 100 years, maybe almost 200 years, the great minds and the great thinkers took seriously the question, what if there's no God? What then? How do we live? We call that not atheism, but secularism. See, there's the philosophical atheist, strict. I cannot believe in the existence of God. It does not make sense rationally, logically, within reason. That's the philosophical atheist. Most of the people in the world are not like that. But they're growing. But most of the people, you go outside, down the street, across the river, downtown, into Peace Park, and you ask anyone from around the world visiting the atomic bomb dome, is there a God? I asked one of my students a long time ago, do you believe in God? Okay. If there is a God, where is he? His answer, toi. He's far away. Very far away. Meaning, he was sensing, he could feel, if there is a God, you know, how could you know him? We're human. If there is a God, he's out there. And if he's out there, maybe we can't know him. And if we can't know him, how can we know what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's evil, right? How can we know? So we just live our lives as if there is no God. That is called secularism, practical secularism. Maybe there is a God, maybe there's no God. Maybe religion is right, maybe religion's wrong. Maybe the Bible is true. We can't know for sure, so we'll just keep on going. So our series in Ecclesiastes is addressing that question. Why? Oh, I love this. I love this because we're studying wisdom this year, the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I'm reading through Job right now. We're going to go through Job a little bit. And I love how God puts a book in his Bible that asks this question. Because what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing not all of the answers, but how to ask the right questions. And not being afraid to ask these questions. Ecclesiastes is the English translation of the Latin word. Excuse me. Is the Latin translation of the Hebrew word. Excuse me. The Hebrew word is Kohelet. The English is, or the Latin is Ecclesiastes. Kohelet means the assembler, the preacher. If you watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, they have the pundits, the ones who are always commenting on the daily things in the world. That's what you can say of the Ecclesiastes, the Qohelet. He's the questioner. And the Qohelet in the Bible is someone who says, ask these questions. Don't run from them. Because in the question, you'll find wisdom. And God wants you to be wise. He gave you Proverbs. He gives you Job. But he also gives you Ecclesiastes. And the Qohelet, the one who is in Ecclesiastes, is saying, there is a question that you cannot run away from. There are issues that you and everybody else in this world is trying to run away from. And, you know, there's a verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12. The hearts of men are laid bare before God. It's interesting, that verse, it's going to come around a turn, so just stay with me here. The hearts of man is naked before God. You know what that word is, naked before God? It's someone that grabbing your collar says, look, pay attention. I'm right here in your face. That's that word. And Ecclesiastes is grabbing you. You who are a secularist, you who may think, I don't know if there's a God, you who are questioning, you who are searching for God, he's, look, don't run away from this question, because this is what people do. Stephen Jay Gould, a famous Harvard professor back in the 70s, an author, he said this, very influential. He said, look, basically we're here because a long time ago, some fish were able to have fins that support mobility on dry land. And we're here because a great meteorite struck the earth, killing the dinosaurs, which allowed humans to survive without risk of being eaten. We're here because the ice age didn't completely freeze the earth, so humans could have a chance to survive. So Stephen Jay Gould says, we're here because of a great accident of randomness, of chance. There's no need for God to give us meaning from above. There's no life above the sun. There's only life under the sun. No need for heaven, no need for hell. There's no God to give us meaning, right, wrong. Therefore, we are free. We're free to make our own meaning. We're free to decide for ourselves what's good, bad, evil, and everything else, just and unjust. That's what Stephen Jay Gould says. And so that's exactly what we are doing, exactly what man is doing for the last 100 years. Here's what we do. If there's no God, we try three great things. We try to make meaning in our life. One is through pleasure, comfort. All right, everything's an accident. My origin is meaningless. My destiny is insignificant. All right, let me just eat, drink, and be happy, right? Let me live for pleasure and comfort and beauty. And we covered that a few weeks ago. And we said, nah, the Ecclesiastes did that. He was the greatest partier that ever lived. He knows what it means to party and have a good time, probably more than anybody here. And he says, that's pretty empty. The dirty little secret of the world is the richest, the most powerful, the most successful people in the world are what? Miserable. Thank you. Miserable, empty, lonely, poor in spirit. Look at Japan, number three economy in the world, once number two. Is everybody happy? Everybody smiling? Right? Poor in spirit. Right? So the Ecclesiastes says, the Qohelet says, not going to find it in pleasure. Okay, I can't find it in pleasure. Let me achieve something. Let me put all my life's work and effort into what I do. Do what I love. And if I do what I love, I'll never work a day in my life. I'll achieve something. Okay? And we covered that 2 weeks ago. The Kohelet said, bro, get real. You know what work is. Work is brutal. Work grinds you down like a pestle. Work just, you end up just dead and lifeless, and it's not satisfying. You know the truth about work. You need rest, but you're not going to find it in work. So meaning in life, if I can't find it above the sun, I'll find it through pleasure. I'll find it through achievement. If those don't work, there's one last thing I'm going to try. That's what humans are doing, and that is what we find today. In today, it says, I'll find meaning in life through justice. I'll find a cause. I'll find something good, and I'll leave the world a better place than I found it. Some justice for the poor, justice for the environment, justice for the city, right? And I'm going to devote my life to a cause, to leave a legacy for people to remember my name. And the Kohelet says, wake up. Wake up. Here's what he says. You can't run away from this question. Look at verse 11 and 12 with me. We're going to start a little bit from the bottom here, sort of in the middle bottom. I have seen something under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. Food doesn't come to the wise, wealth to the brilliant, favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Ah, the great triad of injustice in the Bible. In Ecclesiastes, three things the Kohelet says make everything meaningless. Time, chance, death. We find them all here. It's actually a theme that runs through the whole book. Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is vanity, useless, absurd. Why? Because of time, chance, death. Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. The race is to the swift. Success is for the wise. Really? Let me tell you about that. There was an author, he was writing about Ecclesiastes. He just turned on the TV one night. This is back in America. He turned on the TV and he just flipped all the channels during the news hour. And these are, he just wrote down what the news said for one night. Here's what it said. There was trouble in the Middle East again today. Three terrorists commandeered a school bus and set off explosives that killed both themselves and all the children. A major storm hit Bangladesh. Thousands were drowned. Tens of thousands are homeless. A four-car pileup traffic accident on one of the highways resulted in 5 deaths. Downtown, one of the New York's boroughs, a 5-year-old girl in her mother's lap was killed by a stray bullet. One with a little research in it. Thousands of 2/3 world children die daily from largely preventable diseases out of complacency and selfishness, invincible ignorance that people with power to treat them simply fail to do so. Yeah, it's random. It's chance, misery, terrible evil. It's unavoidable, right? I'll live for a cause. I'll live for justice. It doesn't matter, is what he's saying, if life is under the sun. Verse 12, moreover, no man knows whether his hour will come, when his hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net or birds are taken in a snare. Men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly. Pastor Chris, come on. I'm not one of them. I know what to do. You know, I'll do this and I'll plan for that. I'll take care of myself. It's not going to happen to me, right? And all the older people are just like, okay, just keep on living. Just keep on going and see what happens. Time and chance. This is random. You can't control. You are not in control. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. Because you've been bitten, some of you. You know the chance. You know it's random. You know that there bad things happen to good people, and some bad people are living just fine. It's random, isn't it? It's meaningless. All right? Now, that's just on the personal level. Okay, that's just the random evil injustice on the individual. How about the great absolute injustice? Go up to the page and verse 3 through 5. Okay? It gets deeper. It gets even worse. So we start at verse 3. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all, right? And what is that destiny? Afterward, they join the dead, right? And we continue, right? Verse 5. The living know that they will die. The dead know nothing. They have no further reward. Even their name is forgotten. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be the child or you could be the terrorist. You could live a life of love or a life of hate. You still end up dead. So what does it matter? Don't ignore this question. If there is no God above the sun, and life under the sun is all there is, this is the reality. You can't ignore it. He's grabbing you by the collar. Can you feel it? Here's the thing. There'd be no memory of you. Even the memory of what you do, maybe one generation will remember you. But even the effect of what you do, in the end, it's going to lead to, there is a nothingness. There is a nothingness that makes everything we do meaningless under the sun. Okay? So we find it with these things. And you know what? I'm fine, Chris. I'm gonna live a life of justice. I'm gonna try to help global warming. I'm gonna find some sick children. I'm gonna go off into the remote places and help somebody in need. There's a documentary that came out about 20 years ago, and it's called Men with Guns. Okay, fun action movie? No, it's a dark documentary. So Men with Guns. There's a doctor who lived in a Latin American country, and what he did was he wanted to help the poorest people in need of medical attention in the most remote places. And in order to do that, he trained other doctors. He found young men and women who had medical skill and had a heart for the poor. And he trained, he invested his resources, his abilities. And then he sent them out to remote places in Latin America to find the sick who really needed some medical attention. And the documentary is about this. Wherever those men and women, those doctors went to, they were killed by men with guns. Either the government or the anti-government guerrillas would kill them. And so the whole documentary is about him going to each place trying to find the ones he trained. That's all he's trying to do, just looking for people. And in the end, he dies. And just before he dies, here's what he says. A man needs a legacy. A man needs to leave something behind. And before he died, in the middle of it, he says, I'm not a religious man. I'm a scientist. I'm a doctor. Okay. But if I don't make this world a better place, then my life is meaningless. That's what he said. Okay? The Kohelet of Ecclesiastes. He says, wake up. Wake up. Those men could have lived, and you could have saved a few lives. Who cares? You could build a pyramid. Maybe some people remember you. But look, the Kohelet says, death takes all of us. It's terrible injustice. You die, and you rot. Eventually, the sun will die, and everything will rot. The world, the universe, all of us are destined to be forgotten. It's a cosmic forgottenness. Ugh. Pastor Chris, are you going to get to the good part yet? Is the gospel here anywhere? Oh, trust me. We're going to get there, okay? But we got to find, I got to give you the bad news before you get the good news, right? Amen? All right, so justice, beauty, achievement, come on now. The Kohelet says, you're kidding yourself. But the Kohelet says, there's wisdom in asking this question. There's wisdom in not avoiding the question. All right, I won't avoid it, but here's what I'm going to do. Kohelet, you just need to lighten up. You need to go dancing. Go find some live music, right? Go find some just lighten up, please. You're getting so, and so the Kohelet, you know what he does? Okay, fine. I see what you're doing. Look at verse 7. Go, eat your food with gladness, drink your wine with joyful heart. God's approved what you do. Be clothed in white, anoint your head with oil. Enjoy your wife. Look, there's food, there's restaurants, there's fashion, wear white clothes, there's, you know, elegance and finer things. Anoint your head with oil, smell good, feel marvelous, you know. Right? Enjoy your wife, physical pleasures. And then he's just so mean. And he says in verse 9, right? All the days of this meaningless life, God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. Look, we talked about this in the beauty sermon, right? No matter what, it always breaks through the emptiness of it. Why? Beauty, pleasure, we're trying to enjoy something that's temporary, but we're made to be satisfied eternally. Temporary pleasure cannot satisfy eternally. We're made for eternity. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, God has hidden eternity in our hearts. And it's always going to break through. It's always going to be over there, a cloud hovering over you. Enjoy it, but you know it's not going to last. Okay? So don't tune it out. So Chris, Pastor, okay, all right, what's the answer? Okay, where is the gospel? What's the good news? He gives us not the answers, but he gives us clues, okay? The Kohelet is a preacher, but typically a preacher gives you the answers, leads you to the way. This preacher, he gives you more questions, but the questions lead you, to wisdom. Now, I'm going to give you these two answers. Some of you have come to church today, and you're going through some stuff. Heartbreak, okay? I'm not denying it. You're suffering, physical, emotional, psychological. You're going through the valley of the shadow. It's hard, okay? Why is there evil? Why is there suffering? And you've come to church for an answer. You've come to the place of God to find something. Now, I'm going to give you two answers, okay? There's an answer for your mind, and there's an answer for your heart. There's a clue that's kind of cold and a clue that's kind of hot. The cold answer is from the mind. The hot answer is for the heart. Now listen, the Bible doesn't just give you one. You need both. If you just go with one, it's kind of not going to get you where you need to go. Okay? But for those of you who are going through some difficulty right now, I need you to be patient. Okay? I'm going to take you through the first answer. And it's like, all right, that's fine. But the second answer, it'll get you there. But you need the first answer too, okay? So the first answer, the first clue. We'll call it the answer for your mind, the cool answer, okay? It's going to be kind of weird, but you need it. You really need it. Look at verse 4. Something strange, he says. It's about dogs and lions, right? Verse 4. Is that what I said? Verse 4, the dog and the lion? Yes, okay. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. All right. For all you dog people like me, you're not going to like this, okay? Like my wife, she's a cat person. She likes this verse, okay? When we think of a dog, we think of a German Shepherd, a Collie, a Golden Retriever, something, you know, wonderful, right? To ancient people, no, right? You remember the movie Lion King, right? Lion King. The bad guy was a great lion. His name is Scar, but his servants were who? The hyenas, right? They're dogs. So to ancient people, dogs were the lowest form of animal there was. They were wild. They were scavengers. They were dirty. They lived on garbage. They ate cadavers. They ate dead bodies, okay? Remember the story of Jezebel, the evil queen? Right? Jezebel fell from a window. She didn't deserve to be buried. She deserved to be eaten by dogs, right? And the dogs deserved her because they're the lowest form, so they deserve such an evil person, right? So the evil person deserves to be eaten by the lowest dogs, right? And the lion, there's no explanation. The lion is this great, noble beast, right? Same as today, the king of the jungle. Here's what the Qohelet is saying. Watch it now. You're better off being a liar, a murderer, and a thief as long as you're alive. You're better off being a lying, murderous thief that's alive than some noble person that died for a noble cause. That's what he says. You want to live for justice? You want to help people? Nah. Listen now. Okay, here it is. And we're going to go a little bit further next week. But I'm going to give this to you. Now, trust me, this is for the thinkers. This is for the intellectual types. This is the ones who are trying to reason things out. Okay? If life on this earth is without God, everything we do is meaningless. Therefore, there's no such thing as good or evil. There's no such thing. So your idea of justice and injustice, it's absurd. It's meaningless. Because we're just trying to survive. Now, people say, I can't believe in God because there is evil in the world. It's random evil. Hurricanes, weather, children who are innocent dying. I can't believe in a God who won't save the innocent. That's evil. The presence of evil is a problem for belief. The Qohelet says, you got it twisted. Yes, the problem of evil is a problem for belief. But you know what? The problem of evil is a problem for unbelief too. Did you catch me? Did you catch me there? If there's no God, there's no good. So who are you to say what's good and what's bad? And you say it's good, but what about me? What makes my good better than your good or your good better than mine? For my good could be your evil, and your evil could be my good. Who's to say who's right or who's wrong? If there's no God. You follow? So Qohelet is saying, you might as well be a liar, a murderer, and a thief. It doesn't matter. There's nothing good. There's no such thing as an abstract good. Let's say you've never seen a smartphone, You've never seen this. And I say, look what I have. And you say, well, what is this? I say, it's a smartphone, right? And I say, it's good. Is it good? And you say, I've never seen it. What is it for? If I know what it's for, if it has a purpose, then I can judge it's good or it's bad, right? And I say, well, try hammering with a nail, right? Try using it as a hammer. Is that good? No, it's evil because you're using it for the wrong purpose. The purpose tells you if it's good or bad. But if we're accidents, if there's no God that gives us a purpose, there's nothing good or bad about us. We could just be a live dog. We could be dogs. Doesn't matter. Okay? Now, some of you are like, oh, okay, Pastor Chris, that's fine. That's good. All right. That's just the cold answer. That's for the minds. For some of you who are going through difficulty, that's an answer, but it's okay, fine. Fine. Okay. God maybe has a purpose for evil. Maybe God knows what the evil's for. He's not going to tell you. How does that help me? It's true. It's true. It's cold comfort. C.S. Lewis, one of our favorite writers, he's actually in the bulletin today. He said, his wife, Joy, she died while he was alive, and he was writing a book about it. And he said, you know what? I'm not afraid that there is a God. I'm afraid of what that God will be like when I meet him. I'm afraid I'll meet a God that I don't like. Here's the hot answer, okay? Now it gets good. See, God doesn't just give us a philosophical, rational argument that answers every question. He doesn't do that for us. He provides one of those. But he goes further. The Christian God does something more to answer the problem of evil. And that's what the Kohelet sees. Just a hint of. Okay? If you look at verse 13 through 16. He talks about this poor man at the city, right? And we read it. I don't have to rehearse it again. But there's the poor man who lived in a city, a king comes, a powerful king surrounds the city. No one goes in, no one goes out, no food, no water, in or out, and the city is about to be captured by a great and strong king. And then there's the poor man inside the city, right? His wisdom saves the city. And the Kohelet, if you look at verse 13, the Kohelet says, "This was, I saw under the sun this example of wisdom, now watch this, that greatly impressed me." That word, impressed, that's a very interesting word. It means it was, なんか 感動よりも, 不思議. It puzzled me. It left me wondering. That's what he's saying. That's impressed. I was puzzled by it. And what was he puzzled by? It's three things. The first one, this wisdom, it was a saving wisdom. This poor man, somehow in his understanding, in his knowledge, in his relationships, he used it, he leveraged that wisdom to save an entire city from a tyrant king. Wow. Okay, that's one. But look at the second thing. He was a poor man. It was a serving wisdom. Okay, the first thing is a saving wisdom. The second is Listen, if you're wise, we studied half a year the book of Proverbs. Okay, basically, if you're wise, you're going to have good relationships, which leads to good opportunities, which leads to prosperity, you're going to have a higher chance of success. The wise, the understanding, the discerning, they'll get forward in life, right? How about this guy? He had wisdom, but he was poor. How does a man have wisdom but is poor? And what he's saying is, this man didn't use his wisdom to benefit himself. He used this wisdom, this understanding, this influence to serve his people. It was a humble, serving wisdom, which ended up saving the city. Did you see that? And that impressed the Kohelet. But there's a third thing that really left a mystery, but really reveals something to us. And that third thing is at the end, in verse 16. It says, you know what? This wise, humble, serving, poor man, he saves the city, and what does the city do? Yay! Parade, celebration, reward. No. What do? They forget him. They reject him. In fact, they not only forget him, they despised him. Did you see that? Verse 16. It's not only you're nobody. It says like, no, we hate you. He's despised. What's going on? It's a puzzle. It's the gospel. What name comes to your mind when you hear about a poor, wise man who saved a great number of people by serving them in humility and who was despised and rejected? Is there a name that comes to your mind? Right? Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Greeks, but for those whom Christ has called, both to Jews and Greeks, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Christ. The poor man who was forgotten. The poor man who was despised. The poor man rejected. On the cross, Christ was rejected by his own countrymen, abandoned by his own family, and abandoned by his closest friends. But you know what else on the cross? You know what else? He was forgotten. He received the cosmic forgottenness of the one whom he loved with all his heart. Why? That's the gospel. Let me tell you the gospel right now. We have forgotten God. We have not created ourselves. It was him who created us. We rebelled. We disobeyed. We wanted our way. And so, you know what happened? We forgot the eternal, and we ended up becoming temporary. We rejected eternal life, and here we have death. And every single person, whether they believe in God or whether they don't believe in God, they know it in their heart. They know it. They can't run away from it. They'll try to run with beauty, with pleasure, with work, No. It's always there. There's always an emptiness. I'll try to live for good, but I know there's something evil. And I have to deal with it. We have forgotten God. And so what did God do? He said, you know what? I'll give you this reasonable argument, watertight proof that I... Okay, no. He doesn't do that. You know, evil this, evil that. No. I'm going to send my own son. You want to talk about evil? I'm going to experience evil in a more profound and deep way than anybody who's ever lived. I will take evil on myself. My God, why have you forgotten me? That's what he says on the cross. Why does he say that? Because what we deserve was to be forgotten by God. But God put that destruction on his own son so that we could not be forgotten. Listen, Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget the baby who is nursing at her breast? Yea, maybe she may even forget, but how could I forget you? You are written on the palm of my hand. God never forgets you. through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is he took the forgottenness. He took the abandonment. He was forsaken so that we could be forgiven. That's the answer that Ecclesiastes was pointing you to. Let's bring it to a close. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're running from God. Maybe you're searching for God. Maybe you're still not yet a Christian. Maybe you thought you're a Christian, but you're now coming to understand the meaning of the cross. Listen, there's two answers you got, the cold answer and the hot answer. You need both if you're going to find God, okay? And it's not just the thoughts. You need to know God. God wants to know you in such a way that you will be known forever. And that's only possible through the hot answer, through the gospel. But for those of you who are Christians here, I want to speak to you right now. Those of us who are Christians, you know what the psalmist says? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Watch this now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his goodness. You know what your problem is as a Christian? You Christian who feels lonely, rejected, depressed, you have forgotten the poor man. Okay? And so what do? When we come to church, when we sing the songs, when we give the testimonies, when we listen to one another, when we pray, when we hear the word, we're remembering what God has done for us again and again, as if for the first time. Right? That's what we do. That's what the gospel is. That's what this church is for, to remind us not to forget what Christ has done, to bring it back into our heart. Now, if you've been listening to me preach for, I don't know, however many years, you've probably figured it out by now. One way or another, we're going to get from Genesis to Psalms to the prophets, whatever it is, we're going to get to Jesus on the cross, one way or another, because that's what saves. And that's what all of us need, whether you're a non-Christian or a Christian. You need Christ crucified for your sins and for your sanctification. That's what you need. So go back. Remember Jesus. Don't forget him, the poor man who served you, ended up saving your life. Remember God and be loved forever. Remember God and you will live forever. Let's pray. Did you need the hot answer or the cold answer today? Do you need to remember something about Jesus today? Do you need to confess something to God today? Do you need to embrace Christ in a new way today? My friend, my brother, my sister, come before him, bow your head, submit your way to him. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, here in my heart, your presence abides. So, Lord, I pray for your Spirit to enter our hearts through Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that you would help us not to ignore the questions, but to face them and to trust you in these questions, Lord. I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.